Many are not familiar with faith promise giving. I think most of us are, with the exception of maybe Zach and Nicole. Nicole, right? Did I get it right? Okay. And Sister Pollard. I think everybody else is familiar with faith promise giving, right? Amen. Natasha, you guys got that at West Coast, I'm sure. Many times. Probably got it more than we get it here. Amen. All right. So we're going to look at some things in regards to that in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. We're going to cover the entire chapter between today and tonight, and 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It'd be good if I have a Bible to cover that with. I don't think I can cover that without my Bible, although I can talk about it, amen. And again, keep in mind, we do have two missionaries that we want to take on 100%. Not 100%, but I should say we're going to take them on at the full amount of $100 a month. That's going to be Mitchell Crittenden. By the way, he will be able to get back with us again. He'll be here the Sunday night service coming up. So we can get a chance to meet his wife, meet his children. And looking forward to that. He checked his schedule, and he really felt bad that the baby was sick last time with the foot and mouth situation. So we talked a little bit, and he said, hey, I'm going to be in the area on the 13th. He said, would I be able to come back? I said, that's a perfect day, because Dr. Baldwin will be here anyway. And that is our missions conference. We'll be tabulating our faith promise giving that night. And so he said that he would bring his family back up. And then he put the caveat, hopefully they'll be well. Amen. So y'all pray for Mitchell. And I pray for his wife. Basically, what's going to happen here, in your bulletin today, you've got this pamphlet depicting grace giving. Next week, what you'll get is going to be this card. And what you'll do is put down the amount that you want to give per week to missions, and you'll fill out that side. You'll keep the right side for your own records, and then you'll turn this part in. You'll notice next week when we hand this out, there's not a place for your name. We don't want your name. This is a promise between you and the Lord and what you're going to give towards him. And that is something that you want to do for an entire year. By the way, there are people that that are still giving to missions until the end of November that are no longer here. So just to give you that caveat there, it is an entire year's commitment. And when you give, it's not something that you're giving to me or the church, but it is something that you're giving to the Lord, because you value souls and what God is doing in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. So keep those things in mind. Everybody at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you're not, go ahead and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Going to spend a few moments this morning just talking about some background information. Jump into this, and then hopefully finish it out in the morning service, and then finish chapter 9 in the night service, because most of us are already familiar with grace giving. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and we're going to read down through the first 9 verses together, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if everybody is there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, and let's read starting in verse number 1. We're going to read down to verse number 9. Here we go. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Amen. Now notice verse number 8 before we pray. Paul said this, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Let me say at the outset that grace giving or faith promise giving is not commanded. In other words, you don't have to do it. Okay, everybody get that down? You don't have to do it. So that kind of, okay. It's not something I got to do. So you don't have to do it. On the other hand, the Bible says that you do prove the sincerity of your love. You prove how much you love God and how much you love seeing others get saved by doing it. So keep that. You say, well, wait, that's not fair. Yes, it is fair. For God so loved the world, he what?
Gave.
So giving is always a measurement of your love. And in most cases, when it comes to something like this, Father, bless now this morning that we may understand more of the principle involved here, Lord. And Lord, just see practically what's at stake. It's souls of men, women, boys and girls. It's the ability of a missionary to get onto the field. And Lord, it is our thankfulness to a loving God who gave everything and gave everything for us that we could be saved. Help us now as we reciprocate that back to others, that, Lord, we may sense you're moving in our lives. Lord, thank you for loving us. Now I pray you bless this message. And, Lord, use me as your servant this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right. So I want to make sure that we get that out of the way first, that you really get a hold of verse number 8. Paul said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, by the way, he says you're going to prove it by what you give. Missions goes beyond duty. Yeah. It's not something that you and I have to do. Now, tithing is something that you have to do. Amen. Tithing is something that God says you ought to do that. Amen. And that's something you have to do. But missions then is based on love and becomes something that you desire to do from a position of devotion. Okay. Because you love God and you love what God stands for. And Jesus said this, I came to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. And so she's getting excited about it. Amen. Already. Amen. We need to have that same zeal, that same excitement. Amen. And so because Jesus came to seek and to save, our missionaries are going out to do the same exact thing. And so when you and I give to missions, it's not so much based upon duty, but it's desire and it is devotion. Love is the motive. Okay. By the way, how many husbands you love your wives? Amen. How many wives you love your husbands? Amen. That's why ladies cook. That's why they wash clothes. That's why they clean the house. That's why they do all those special things. Husbands love their wives. That's why they listen to them when they talk. That's why they go out and make bread, money, I mean. And that's why they take care and they protect and they provide security. We do it because we love. How many of us love our children? Amen. We spank our children because we love them. No, I'm just joking. Amen. But we do. Amen. But we provide for our children because we love them. We give them clothes. We give them food. We give them shelter. We give them protection. We give them security. And we discipline them as well because we love them. And by the way, God said, if you don't, you don't love them. Amen. And so that's why we do those things out of love. Are we getting paid to love our wives, men? No, there's not a bank account in the world that's big enough. Amen. Wives, are you getting paid to love your husbands? It's not a bank account big enough for you either. Amen. Are we getting paid to love our children? No. There's not a bank account big enough for us to love our children. So why do we do what we do? We love them. Nobody has to motivate us to do it. Nobody has to make us do it. Nobody has to tell us to do it. Now, do we do it all the time from a position of desire and devotion? No. Sometimes it is duty. I don't want to spank you, but I've got to. It's duty. Amen. Sometimes we don't want to do things. My wife, she loves having some cold water at night so that she can drink water throughout the night. And so I pretty much religiously get her water just about every night. There's been occasions when she woke up and there was no water. And she would say something like this, man, I was thirsty last night. And I think, oh, my soul, I forgot to get her some water. She's not paying me for that. But she wants me to do it. And I want to do it.
Yep.
Why do I want to do it, even though I'm not getting paid? I love her.
Yes, you do.
And I don't want her to wake up and say, man, I was thirsty last night.
Amen.
I want to do that for her because I love her. And so when it comes to doing it, do I feel like doing it all the time? Sometimes I don't feel like doing it. And sometimes it does feel like a duty because I'm tired. I don't want to even get water for myself, let alone for you. I just told the children I wasn't giving them any water. So, but now I got to get you some. And so be advised that throughout the course of a year, when you're giving to missions, sometimes it's going to seem like duty.
Yep.
Sometimes it's not going to seem like desire. Sometimes it's not going to seem like devotion. But when you do it, guess what? According to verse 8, he says you're going to be proving the sincerity of your love even when you don't feel like doing it.
Yep.
Jesus went to the cross for us to prove the sincerity of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave. So we're not going to always desire and have that devotion, although we should most of the time. But sometimes that's going to wane and we're not going to feel like doing it. We're not going to feel like giving that. That's why we make a promise. Mm-hmm. By the way, when you and I got married, you know what we did? We made a promise.
Yes.
And most of us said something like this, till death do we part. And that was a promise that we made. Mm-hmm. I made a promise to my wife that I would love her and cherish her and do all the things that my vows said, and protect her, mm-hmm. till death do we part. What's mine is hers, and what's hers is mine. We share. Do I always feel that way? No, not always. But you know what? I made a promise, and so I'm going to keep my promise. Faith promise is the same. We love God, but more importantly, we love souls, and we're thankful that God saved us. And because God saved us, we think, man, God, I couldn't repay you enough. And so what can I do? And he says, well, if you care that much, then tell somebody else about me. Well, Lord, I do tell people. He says, okay, there are people in Africa. How are you going to tell them? And guess what? Missions.
Yes, sir.
There are people up there in Arizona, in northern Arizona. Guess what? Missions.
That's right.
There are people in Argentina. Guess what? Missions. Mm-hmm. There are people in North Carolina. Missions. There are people in the Indian Reservation. Missions. There are people where you can't go, but when we say, God, I love you and thank you for saving me, what can I do? He says, well, you can tell somebody else, and those that you cannot tell, you can give so that somebody else can tell them.
Amen.
And so in a nutshell, that is missions.
Yep.
Are we always going to feel like doing it? No.
Nope.
Should we always do it? Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Should we always feel like it? Yeah, we really should, but we don't. That's just a fact. That's a fact of the matter. Yeah, you know, I'd be sitting up here lying if I said I felt like getting my wife water every night. Sometimes I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, though, I'm like, yes, I love doing this because now, you know, she's going to wake up at night. I hear that. And I'm like, yeah.
Amen.
If it wasn't there, there would be no. There would just be a. Where's my water? No, she wouldn't do that. She'd just tell me when I wake up the next morning. Amen.
There you go.
What's that? Yeah, yeah. And that's the worst feeling. Men, this is the worst feeling. I do it every night, and to hear her going downstairs and to do it herself. Oh, man, I'm in the bed, a dagger in my heart. I'm like, ah. Man, she's got to get out of the warm bed. She's got to go down the cold floor, got to get her water. She's probably half asleep. She's going to drop ice on the floor, probably spill stuff. And, you know, then she comes back up, and I'm feeling so bad. I'm thinking, I should have done it. Now, when I forget, you know, that's one of those things. Now, when I'm too tired, amen.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'll just get one. I say, okay, hey, you can share mine. Yes, Beth?
Well, to do it when you don't feel like it means even more.
Amen.
Amen.
It does. And sometimes my wife, she knows that I'm tired. And she'll go get it herself. And I'm like, no, don't. She's like, but honey, you're so tired. I said, I know I am, but I want to do that for you.
Amen.
Yeah, I am tired. Sometimes after she goes upstairs, I say, G2, get mommy some water. Put it on the steps. I'll take it upstairs when I go. Amen. She'll think I did it. Amen.
Yes,
that's ingenuity. It's using your resources. I did. I told G2 to do it. Amen. And sometimes I'll get it myself and I'll tell the children to take it upstairs. Take it upstairs. Yeah. You know, of course, they like to can't claim credit. Here's your water, Mom. I'm just waiting for it to ask one time, who made it? Dad. All right, as long as you know, I'm getting the credit for this. Amen. But that's missions in a nutshell. It's giving because we love God. And so let's go over a few things here very, very quickly. Just want to give basically an introduction to this, and then the morning service will cover the majority of chapter number 8. And we've covered already why we need and have a missions program, and that's out of Matthew 28. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Yep. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that's why we need and have a missions program. God told us to go everywhere and teach them and how to be saved and baptize them and then teach them all things. And then we finance a program because of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. He told us to go into Jerusalem, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts. You and I cannot go everywhere, but we still have a mandate to go everywhere. See the pain that she feels that we can't go everywhere? She says, "I want to go everywhere." And we feel the same way. And God says, "I know you do it, so I'm giving you the avenue through missions." Amen. Because we want to go everywhere. I don't know about you. When I first got saved, when missionaries would come through, I wanted to go everywhere they talked about. Except New Jersey. I did not want to go to New Jersey, and I did not want to go to Illinois. Those are two places I did not want to go back to. You say, why? My family was there. My family knew how wicked I was back in those days. Amen. I say, preacher, that should have been more reason why you wanted to go back there so you can show them the difference. Amen. A prophet is not without honor in his own city. Amen. They would still see little Greggy. Amen. I wasn't going for that. Amen. But every time a missionary came through, I wanted to go where he talked about. You know, if they talked about Africa, I wanted to go there. They talked about Australia, I wanted to go there. India, I wanted to go there. Europe, I was already there when I got saved. Amen. So amen. Couldn't go there. Amen. But I was willing to get out of the military and stay there. Amen. And so every time a missionary came through, I wanted to go. And I wanted to go there and be where the missionaries were at. And then I thought, wait a minute, I can't go everywhere.
That's right.
But every time a missionary comes, I want to go. Mm-hmm. Italy, I went down there. Naples, amen. And boy, it stinks down there. Volcano's there and it smells like sulfur. I got off the plane. I thought, what is that awful smell? It smells like rotten eggs. I said, I feel pity for the people that live in Naples, amen. You guys live there. You get used to it, amen. And I thought, man, I could never live here. But guess what? There was a missionary there that started a church. And so the Lepars were there. They had a church to go to. Amen. Belgium, I thought, I could never live here. It's dreary. It rains all the time. But there was a missionary that went there and started a church. And so I got saved. Amen. Now, I would have loved to have gone down to Spain where Pastor White got saved at. Would love to go to Spain, amen, but I didn't go there. But Brother Kraft was there. I would have loved to have gone to Japan, Okinawa, on the island. Just talking to Brother Shirk about that yesterday. I never got there. And I wanted to go so I could see the ocean and, man, be there. Now, I didn't want the typhoon. I don't want the typhoon, don't want the storms, but give me the weather. No, yeah, don't go there, amen. And I had a chance to go to Athens, Greece, and I thought I could live here. I mean, it was dry and the ocean was just as blue. And I thought, I could live here. Perfect setting. I said, but Paul's already been here. Amen. So, but everywhere the missionaries went, I wanted to go. And so it is with missions. When the missionaries speak and they preach, there's areas that we want to go. We can't go. But you know what? We can give. And we can give to them to help them help us with our part. Mitchell Crittenden is going up here to Anthem, Arizona, in that area up there. The Ferraris are already in Argentina. Brother Serge and Sister Serge. Brother Serge and Sister Serge. Brother and Sister Lepar, amen, had the pleasure of working with Mr. Ferraro. How old was he?
He was in high school.
He was in high school.
High school.
They worked with him in the Christian school. He was in high school. They knew him. They thought, you know, if anybody's going to the missions field, it ain't you. But guess who's going to the missions field?
The Lord got a hold of him.
Lord got of his, you know, hey, when they first met me and Mrs. Dawson at Belgium, they said, Mrs. Dawson will never get saved. Now, they should have said it about me, you know, but they said it about her. She'll never get saved. Now, why did they say it about her? I have no idea. I would have said she'd be the first one to get saved in this family. I'd be the last one. I'd be like, look. I shall not be moved. That's a man's religion. I ain't having it. Bless God. But we got saved the same day. So he's going to Argentina, and we get the privilege of supporting him in Argentina and having a representation down there. Amen. So with that said, that's why we finance missionaries. Now, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and verse 9 are not describing missions giving. So let me reiterate that. This is not describing missions giving. It is, on the other hand, describing faith promise giving, and that's the principle that we use to give by grace through faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the work of missions. And so Paul is writing to Corinth about helping to meet the need financially for the saints in Judea. Corinth had agreed to help out but had not given to this point. You ever had people that promise to do something and then they don't do it?
Yes, Pastor. Oh, yes.
How do you feel about that person? They let you down. You know, they lied, whatever the case. Circumstances maybe must have prevented them from doing it. That's what's going on here. And so Paul is writing to remind them that they made a commitment to help the saints in Jerusalem because they had a famine going on there. And so he's writing to say, look, others got stirred up when you said you would give. And they gave because you got stirred up about giving, saying you were going to give. But you didn't give. And they did. So he's writing to remind them about the giving, and he's going to come by and get them. And as we approach the collection of our faith promise cards next week, I want to challenge you again from the Word of God concerning our support of the gospel worldwide. Now, why do we do it? Because God said, go ye therefore and teach all nations.
Right.
We can't go everywhere. So we use this principle that Paul encouraged them about in order to give. Okay, everybody follow me on that so far? Amen. All right, so for the next several minutes, let me just give you a couple things here by way of introduction of chapter number 8. Every saved person can and should be involved in worldwide evangelism, both by our finances and by our feet. In other words, we should give so that others can go, and we should go ourselves. Y'all got that? We should give so that others can go, but we should go ourselves. Why? Because somebody came to you with the gospel.
Yes, sir, he did.
As simple as that. If I don't do anything else, I need to tell somebody else how good God is and how God saved me. If I don't do anything else, I need to do that. But then missionaries are going to come around because they need to go and respond to the call that God has put on their life. And so the giving that you and I do will be by God's grace, and we call it grace giving. Notice grace giving defined here in verses 1 through 6. And I want to show you several things here, how the word grace is repeated over and over again. Notice verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the what? Grace of God. Notice verse number 6. Insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same what? Grace also. Verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this what? Grace also. Come down to verse number 9. For you know the what? Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And come down to verse number 19. And not only that, who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this what? Grace. So Paul lets you know that grace is something that we need to give. And grace simply means this: undeserved favor or loving kindness or goodwill. It can also be designed as getting what we don't deserve or God's ability to do God's will. God's going to give you the ability to do his will. So in other words, God's going to give you the finances or the resources to give to his program, and he's going to do that by his grace. And notice how it's demonstrated through the saints of God in verses 1 through 5. He says how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So in other words, God's grace was shown through their poverty. And by the way, when you don't think you have to give, God can show you that you can still give.
Yes, sir.
Y'all know that? Sometimes you may not think that you can do it, but God always shows you that he can. Amen. God always shows you. By the way, we raised our missions again last year, not knowing what 2016 would hold. Knowing that we were endeavoring to put our children in Christian school, and the Christian school is going to cost about $14,000+. And we raised our faith promise significantly, and looking at 2016, not knowing what was going to happen. But do you know, by God's grace, he gave us more by scholarship money than we had ever gotten in the past. We owed almost close to $15,000. And before school even started, we got about $8,000 of that.
I think it was about $16,000 before school started.
Okay. We owed $16,000 in school tuition. Before school even started, we had $11,000 given by scholarships. Did I know that was going to happen when I gave our faith promise? I did not have a clue. But I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I don't know what 2016 is going to hold. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. I said, but I do know this. Souls are still dying and going to hell. I do know this. Missionaries are still going to the field. And I know this. We have an opportunity to get several more missionaries on the field. And so if nobody else does what you lay upon their heart, I'm going to do what you lay upon my heart. And I'm going to give a little bit more. And God sent in more money than we ever got in the 4 years that our kids have been down to Christian school.
Wow.
Now, that's just God.
Amazing.
That's just the grace of God. Did I know he was going to do that? No.
Nope.
If I'd known that, I probably would have gave a little bit more so he could have gave me more. Amen. But you got to go with the faith that you have. And that's the faith that I had. I said, well, Lord, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, I believe we can do this. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing about God, when you give to your grace, God lets you go beyond your grace. Notice what he says down there. He says, verse number 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. God says, you know, you give what you believe you can give, but then stretch it out a little bit further and do a little bit more than what you think you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And when the figures don't seem to add up, okay, Lord, that's beyond what I think I can do. But amen, you're God, and so I'm going to trust you. And so it can be shown in poverty. It can be shown when we present ourselves. Notice down there in verse number 4, praying us with much entreaty, we will receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. He said the Christians there were praying and begging them to come and get this money and take it down to the needy saints in Jerusalem. And they didn't have it to give, but they gave it anyway. And notice what he says, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So they presented themselves to God first. What does Romans 12:1 say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies,
mm-hmm,
living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's a reasonable service. And so he said they did that first. They gave themselves to God. And then they gave themselves to Paul and said, Paul, what we have, the saints in Jerusalem are going to have. What you and I say is, God, here am I. And Lord, what I have, you have. Lord, also what I have, I want to give it to the church so the church can give it to the missionaries so they can go and give the gospel. By the way, I was talking to Brother Shirk last week about his wife going over to the Philippines. And I said, is there a church? He said, there's a bunch of churches there. You know what had to happen? Somebody had to get the gospel over to the Philippines.
Yep.
Sister Eileen, how many churches in your area, approximate, within, I'd say, a 20, 30-mile radius? Five churches. Five churches. You know, that took some missionaries to get over there, to raise up some nationals to take over those churches. Amen. So somebody gave so those missionaries could go there.
That's right.
One of the things that Leah, praise the Lord for, our missionary brother Loxon, sent someone down to her hometown. Multitudes got saved, but there was no preacher.
Wow.
Finally, Brother Loxon's son-in-law, which is their daughter's husband, surrendered to go down and plant a church in Leah's hometown. Leah's just excited about that. You know how that happened? We supported a missionary, and she said, Pastor, is there someone that can go to my hometown? I said, I don't know. Let's call Brother Loxon up and see. So Brother Loxon said, we don't have anybody. We can go down and witness. Went down and witnessed. His son-in-law went down there to Leah's hometown and got burdened for those people. Yes, hon?
The exciting thing about it is she took her Sunday school curriculum there when she went on vacation, and she won several of the people.
Amen. Amen. I forgot that part as well. She was teaching a Sunday school class here. She said, Pastor, can I take my Sunday school lesson with me? I said, sure. She took it down there and got all her family and friends together and taught them a lesson, and multitudes got saved.
Amen.
She said, now what am I going to do? They all got saved. And so her brother was stepping in, and he was one of the ones that got saved. And she left the Sunday school material there, and he started teaching that. That ran out. He didn't have anything else to teach. And so we called Brother Loxon. I said, Brother Mario, like, can you send someone down? And so someone went down because her brother got discouraged. He said, I don't have anything else to give him. What else can I do? And so he got started getting discouraged. All these people are showing up. He's like, I'm not trained. I mean, I can't baptize. I'm not even baptized. And so Brother Loxton sent someone down. They baptized them. And his son-in-law's heart got attached to these people. And then he raised support and went right back down there and started the church in Leah's hometown.
That's good.
God is good.
That's good.
Why? Leah was burdened for her hometown. Mm-hmm. She was burdened for her hometown. And so people got saved. And so grace can be shown in poverty, as it was here in verse number 2. Grace can be shown beyond our power, as it was shown in verse number 3. Grace can be shown if we present ourselves, as it shows you in verse number 5. You'll surprise yourself as to what you can give when you first give yourself to God. Notice Paul says, now I want you to do something with this grace. Notice verse number 6. He says, in so much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. What is that? The grace of giving. They had promised to give to the churches in Jerusalem and Judea and that area that were suffering. He said, now go send Titus down there, and he's going to complete in that which you already promised to do. Notice verse 7. He says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, he says, you guys are expanding and growing in your faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us. He said, you're growing in these areas. He said, now see that ye abound in this grace also. What is that? The grace of giving. He said, you guys are doing such a great job in all these other areas, all these Christian attributes. Now, I want you to, expand in this. And so he used positive encouragement. By the way, many of you here are growing.
Yes, sir.
And you're growing spiritually. And you're learning more. My encouragement to you would be step out and try God and test God with another step of faith.
Amen, Pastor.
You gave a certain amount last year. Step out and say, okay, God, I've grown spiritually. I've grown financially. I've grown in my love. I've grown in these areas. And so, Lord, I'm going to trust you a little bit more.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
That's what we did.
Yes, sir.
We said, now, Lord, we've grown. And because of how good you've been to us up to this point, we're going to give a little bit more because you've been so good to us. And so this is what we're going to do. We want to see souls get saved. And so we're going to step out by faith, trust you a little bit more. And guess what? And God did something great. Now, if God did that for us this year, can we expect him to do the same thing next year? No, we can't expect him to do the same thing, but we can expect him to do something.
Yes, sir.
Why? God is never going to be your debtor. You can't outgive God. I'm a living proof of that. You cannot outgive God. If God didn't give me another cent, I still would be in the red. I mean, in the black, because God has given me so much.
Yes, sir, he has, Pastor.
God gave us this building.
Amen.
I mean, you can't outgive God. And so he says, as you're going and you're expanding, do that. And then it brings up to verse number 8. He says, I speak not by commandment. He said, I am not forcing or commanding any Corinthian member to do this. He said, I speak not by commandment. He said, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. He said, now others are giving, and I'm going to use them as an example. He says, and to prove the sincerity of your love. He says, how you give proves your sincerity. And by the way, the beauty of faith promise or grace giving is that you don't have to give. However, you do show how much you love God and how much you love souls by how much you do give. Mm-hmm. Now, can we genuinely say that we love our spouses or love our children if we don't do anything for them? No, you cannot genuinely say that. Why? Because the premise of love says, because I love, I'll sacrifice for you. Mm-hmm. Because I love, I'll give for you. We sacrifice for our children. I just took G2 or Joshua. They got their hair cut the other day and left a spelling book up there in football. And I get there and where's the spelling book? Spelling book's gone. I'm ready to get home and relax, you know. Kind of wind down, take a shower, you know, sit back, maybe watch some football or something.
Yes, Pastor.
And Joshua couldn't find his book. I said, well, look out in the car. Look here. He couldn't find it. And I said, well, I think the barbershop's closed. I said, well, let's call and see if you left it there. Sure enough, it's there. Mm-hmm. So guess what I couldn't do?
Relax.
Couldn't relax. Couldn't wind down. Couldn't do that. Had to get back in the car. Had to go out. Had to get the glass or the spelling book and come back home. As we were driving down the road, Joshua was quiet. I said, Joshua, do you know how much Daddy loves you? He said, yes, Dad. I said, how much? Enough to go get my glasses. I mean, enough to go get my spelling book. I said, I could be at home relaxing, son. I said, but I got to sacrifice now and go out there and get that. I said, you know what I'm doing? I said, because I love you.
Yes, sir.
And because you can't drive. You know, so,
that's right.
Somebody's got to go back and get this, amen. If you could drive, you'd be getting it yourself, amen. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and giving is not a requirement of law, but it is a requirement of love. Amy Carmichael said this, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. That's good. Say it again. Amy Carmichael said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And that's true. God loved, and so he gave. And so if we love God and we love souls, we're going to give. We love what God has done for us. At the very minimum, we're going to give to him and give to what he values and loves most. And what does he love most? Souls. Amen. And then they get into verse number 9, and we'll cover that more in the morning service, because notice it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So in other words, God's grace was demonstrated through the saints of God, but then God's grace was demonstrated through our Savior. Paul brings us right back in touch with what Jesus Christ did. Think about Jesus Christ leaving heaven to come to be born as a baby, to grow up as a young man, all the while knowing that he was going to die for your sins and my sins. Now think about it, parents. If you lived your whole life knowing that you're going to give your life for your children's life, or vice versa, your children live their whole life thinking they're going to give their life for your life. Mm-hmm. Amen. Remember the boy, anybody hear the story about the boy that had to give the transfusion so his sister could be saved? You heard that story? The sister needed a blood transfusion, so the brother was the only matching type. And so they said, son, would you be willing to give blood for your sister? And of course, he said yes. And so he got up in there, and they strapped him down, strapped the girl down, began to get the blood. And he asked, he says, so at what point do I die? Mm-hmm. He thought that he was going to give all of his blood for her. Mm-hmm. And he was willing to do so for his sister.
That's good.
And he's like, at what point do I die? And they, no, you're not dying. You're just giving some blood. Jesus Christ did die for us. He did. He went all the way. And so it wasn't just a blood transfusion. He spilled his blood for you and I. And so when you look at the price that Jesus paid for us, and Paul brings that reality, he says, I know you've presented your bodies and yourselves to the Lord, and you gave yourselves to us, but just think about what Jesus did for you. And that's the measuring stick of how you and I give. We look at what Jesus did. He came down from heaven. And he not just died for us, he died for everybody.
That's right.
He died for the folks in the Philippines. He died for the folks in Italy. He died for the folks in England. He died for the folks in Belgium. He died for the folks in Argentina. He died for the folks up here in northern Arizona where our brother Crittenden is going to go. And our goal and our job is to say, God, because I love you, I want to give to help reach them. Because somebody reached me. By the way, this church would not be here if I hadn't gotten saved.
That's right, Pastor.
And if I hadn't gotten saved, that means there wouldn't have been a church in Belgium when I got there. Mm-hmm. But because there was a church in Belgium, and because someone did send a missionary from Keene, North Carolina, to Belgium to plant that church, I did get saved, and God did send me here. And because God sent me here, Bethel Baptist Church sent me to plant this church. And because we did plant this church, we supported a missionary to the Philippines. And because we did support a missionary to the Philippines, Alea went home, got folks saved there. And because that missionary in the Philippines that we supported went down there, a church is there. And on the story goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Missions.
That's right.
The heartbeat of God is missions. And so this morning, as you think about how much you're going to give and what you're going to give, think more about why you're going to give.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Because there's a God in heaven that wants to see people saved. And he wants to use you. And he wants to use me by grace to give through faith. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us today to really take consideration of what you want to do through us. Lord, not something that we're going to jump up and down and beat against the pulpit on. But Lord, we know that you love us. And this is all about love. It's about devotion. It's not about duty. It's about delight and a desire. Thank you for these examples here in Scripture. The Corinthians, the Macedonians, But Lord, thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, who gave us the ultimate example for dying on the cross for our sins. Help us now as we go forward into the next lesson, next hour, to consider the great things that you've done for us. And Lord, help us to consider what you want to do with the monies that we do give today. Thank you again for loving us. Bless the refreshments next door. Help us to have missions planted upon our heart a little bit more. And Lord, give a little bit more this year by grace through faith. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.